Good evening. John chapter 17, if you would, please. I read the other day that in order for God to prove that He giveth songs in the night, He must first make it night. But I don't care for the night. I covet your prayers. I'll give you a little introduction here before we read anything. I would entitle this message, Jesus Prays for Believers. Jesus taught His disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6. It's what people often call the Lord's Prayer. And I heard a preacher say that it's really a model prayer, and that John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. I think that's a fair statement. He prayed this prayer before He went into the Garden of Gethsemane, where He was betrayed by Judas. And He prayed this prayer right after the Feast of the Passover. And John chapter 17 has been called His high priestly prayer. Look at verse 18. John chapter 17, please. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Notice this statement Jesus makes. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And to me, He's telling His disciples, I'm not only praying for you, He's telling God, I'm praying for those that come along after. Amen. These men, and I thank God for that. Amen. A missionary from South Africa who wrote a book, A 31-Day Guide to Prayer, said you cannot do better than to pray as Jesus prayed. That's a pretty good statement. Cannot do better than to pray as Jesus prayed. And I couldn't begin to, in the time tonight, begin to exposit this chapter. And I'm too simple for that anyhow. But I'd like for us to just look at four things I picked out that Christ asked for His disciples. Just four things that I noticed. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, again, I thank You for just the opportunity to be in Your house this evening. God, I thank You for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, I pray for Your help this evening, that You just come in and settle in the service and help hearts and just do what You need to do, God. And Lord, I'll try to be a willing vessel for You. Amen. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. Amen. Number one, I want to say that He prayed that they would be one. Prayed that they would be one. If you look at verse 9. It says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me. For they are Thine, and all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And then in verse 21, he says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He prayed that those the Father had given him would be one. I think of that verse where Paul says they were knit together in love. I always like that verse, knit together in love. And that's what a church should be, should it not? It should be one mind, one accord. I believe that the Holy Spirit wouldn't have been poured out as it was on the day of Pentecost if the church had not been in one accord. But in order to have the presence of God and the power of God, a church has to be in one accord. Just hold your place there and turn back a couple pages to John chapter 13 and verse 34. John chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." I want you to notice this statement he makes next. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Isn't that a beautiful statement? Oh, that's a wonderful statement. And if we would love one another as we should, then the world would definitely take note of that. People would notice that we were his disciples. "By this," he said, "shall all men know." And, you know, we live in a religious world. I use the word religious in quotes. And there's a lot of things that people notice. They might notice if you carry a Bible, or they might notice if you dress differently. They might notice that you attend a place of worship. And I'm not saying that those things aren't important, but I'm saying Jesus said, "By this." The emphasis, sometimes we get, not sometimes.
That's right, brother.
Our fallen nature always turns things the wrong way. And that's why we have to have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to help us. Because by nature, we'll turn it around every time. I will. I'll speak for me tonight. How's that? Maybe you're better than I am, but that's the way I am. I'll end up putting the emphasis on the wrong thing. Jesus' prayers that believers would be one. Again, hold your place in John 17 because we're going to go back there. But look at 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to have you turn a couple places. I hope. 1 John chapter 3. I want to say I appreciate the opportunity to preach, and I appreciate the opportunity to help the pastor. If he thinks I'm helping him, then I'm glad to help him. Amen. I really am. In this, verse 10 of chapter 3 of 1 John says, "In this," and I underline that word "this" in my Bible, "in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, comma, neither he that loveth not his brother." If you say you're a Christian and you don't love your brother, there's something wrong, amen? This is how the children of God are made manifest, or made known. This is what separates the children of God from the children of the devil, if I could say it that way. You may not agree with every believer on every issue. I mean, I'm sure right here in this building we've got some differences. But you've got to love every true child of God. Amen. I've said this before. I've not said it here, but I believe this. I believe 5 or 6 months in a concentration camp would fix some of us. We wouldn't argue about nearly some of the stuff we argue about. Amen. I mean, I understand that there's important things, but sometimes we get wrapped up in things that really, if we were in a bad shape, it wouldn't matter too much. I'm not belittling, don't get me wrong, I'm not belittling what we believe. I'm just saying, sometimes we make mountains out of molehills. And a lot of believers, if we were under persecution, we would find more common ground, I think, sometimes. Look again at John chapter 17 and verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. That they all may be one. He was praying for all believers. He was praying for those who had believed, and he was praying for me.
Amen.
He was praying for those who would believe down through time. I like that, don't you? Isn't that a comfort to you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you? You know, and I know, if you're saved here this evening, if it wasn't for him performing until the day of Jesus Christ, none of us would make it. If it wasn't for his prayers, if it wasn't for his intercession, if it wasn't for his strength, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit helping us, guiding us, then we wouldn't make it.
Amen. Yes.
That was his prayer, that the world may believe. Notice what it says in the last phrase there in verse 21, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That the world may believe that thou has sent me. Then, secondly, I want to say he prayed that we might have his joy. That we might have his joy. Look at verse 13, if you would, please. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus Christ prayed that we might have his joy. Again, look at John 15. Hold your place in John 17 and just turn back a couple pages to John 15 and verse 10. John 15 and verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things. You know, when I see something like that in the Word of God, I always say, what things? When the Bible says these things, I ask myself, what things? That's a pretty good habit, isn't it? Try to figure out what's being said. Well, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. These things, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If we keep his commandments and love one another, then we can have full joy. Full joy. And a lot of the problems today with Christianity, or maybe I should say with people who say they're Christians, is they may well be saved, but they don't try to keep his commandments and they don't love one another like they ought to. And you can't have the joy if that's not your situation. In order to have full joy, we must abide in his love and keep his commandments. And you know, the Bible says in 1 John, his commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous. He wants us to have his joy. joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. Today's Christianity is often shallow and selfish. Today's Christianity is often shallow and selfish, is it not? Let me remind you this evening that joy is not happiness. Now, I'm not against being happy. But you can have a lot of bad things going on around you and still have joy. Because joy is deeper than happiness. Happiness, a lot of times, is based on happenings. What's happening around you determines your happiness. But if you've ever went through a trial or storm, then you know that even in the midst of a storm or in the midst of a trial in your life, you can still have a deep, settled joy. I don't care if you're at the funeral home or the hospital or at a deathbed, you can still have something inside of you that is joy. Christ's prayer is that we'd be full of joy, joyful. Let me ask you a question this evening. Do you know the joy of being a Christian? Do you know the joy of being a Christian? Isn't that one of the fruits of the Spirit?
Amen. Sure is.
You say, well, sometimes I'm sad. That's not what I'm talking about. Sometimes I'm sad too. But there's something underneath that. Do you know the joy? Do you know the joy of being freed from the slavery of sin?
Yes, I do.
And the guilt. Do you know that joy of being forgiven? And knowing your sins are gone.
Yeah.
And knowing that God has justified you. Do you know that? Do you know the joys of having made peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? I thought of that hymn, Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. Can you say that this evening? Is he all? Is he your joy? You know, a lot of people are trying to find joy. They think they are. And the world offers a temporal, artificial, if I can put it that way, joy. And basically by promoting things. But things don't last. Hey, listen. Everything you see is temporal. Everything you see is temporal. And the only true joy comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And you may never see me again. I may be gone. You may be gone. I don't know what's going to happen. None of us know what tomorrow is going to bring. But I do know this, that true joy comes from knowing Jesus Christ. True joy doesn't come from having money. True joy doesn't come from having things. True joy doesn't come from worldly pleasures. True deep, settled joy only comes from knowing Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And anything else that you get sidetracked on, it may be good, it may be clean, it may be okay, but I'm telling you, it's not gonna matter one of these days.
Right,
I hope you're going to meet me, but when you meet me on the streets of heaven a thousand years from now and shake my hand, you're going to have to say I was right. And I'm not right. The Bible's right.
Amen.
Just, you know, there's a lot of things, just pleasures. You know, the Bible even says that sin's pleasurable for a season. You know, they show these billboards and they'll show five or six guys sitting around a campfire drinking whiskey and playing cards or whatever, and you know, that's along the highway. You've seen them, haven't you?
Yeah.
But it doesn't show the drunk after 5 or 6 years. He's hooked on it, and he's mistreating his family, and lost his job, and don't have a car because he lost his license. It don't show all that. See, that's the devil. He's a deceiver. Pleasures won't last. Pleasures fade away. I love that hymn. I haven't heard anybody sing it for a while, but it says, "Poor I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy. But the dust I gathered round me only mocked my soul's sad cry. Hallelujah, I have found Him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings through His blood. I now am saved." Only He can give joy and peace, folks. Number three, I'm going to hurry, but Jesus prayed that they'd be kept from evil. Jesus prayed they'd be kept from evil. And I looked that word evil up in the lexicon, and it means moral or spiritual evil. In other words, Christ wasn't praying that evil things wouldn't happen to His people. Do you follow me? In this world, you're going to have tribulation. It rains on the just and on the unjust, does it not? He was praying that they would be kept from being influenced by evil. That we would not be guilty of doing evil things. This world has many evils, does it not? And does the Bible not tell us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world? He didn't pray that we'd be taken out of the world. Sometimes I feel like I'd like to be taken out of the world. But he didn't say that. I think Paul said, talking to the Corinthians, he told them not to fellowship with fornicators. But he said, "But you can't. You're going to have to do business with them. You're going to have to work with them. You're going to see them at the grocery store. But you don't have to be bosom buddies with people that's doing wrong." Amen. He wants us to be light in a dark world.
Amen.
He wants us to be salt.
That's right.
In this world. That, as the Apostle Paul said, we'd have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In order to walk through this evil world, a believer needs to be spirit-filled. Would you agree with that?
Amen. That's right.
Need to be spirit-filled. We need to put on the whole armor of God. The problem I'm seeing is most people, including a lot of Christians, don't know what evil is. No one knows what's right or wrong anymore, it seems like. Good and evil has just become a matter of opinion. Which leads me to my last point. He prayed that we'd be sanctified through God's Word. That we'd be sanctified through God's Word. If you're still in John chapter 17, look at verse 14. "I have given them Thy Word, and the world hath hated them." You know, a man is, or a lady is, known by our enemies as well as her friends, or his friends. "Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Notice verse 17, if you would please. "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth."
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Isn't it a great gift and a great privilege to have the Word of God this evening?
Amen.
Isn't it a wonderful thing to have the Word of God that we can go to and get the truth? I'm getting ready to say 90% of what you see and hear on the radio and television is probably not true. I don't know, but I feel like saying that anyway. But I know this. This is all truth.
Amen.
Amen. Forever, O Lord, is thy word settled. I mean, this is truth, folks. I mean, I wouldn't be disrespectful and do it, but I feel like laying it down and standing on it, and because I can stand on this. I can stand on this while the ages roll.
Amen.
I can stand on this till death comes. I can stand on this when death comes. This is the truth, folks. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Hey, I shower every day. Sometimes twice a day. I like to be clean. Amen. What's that old commercial? Aren't you glad you used Dial? Don't you wish everybody did? But I tell you what's more important than being physically clean is being cleaned by the Word of God.
Amen.
We ought to take a little bit of time every day and take some of this Word in. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't care if you got to listen to it on a tape or a CD or you get time to sit down and read it, but really you need to do something about that if you're not doing it. Take some time and take in some of the Word of God. Listen, I'm just like you. I'm busy. And I neglect the Word of God at times. Because we're all made out of the same stuff, I figure. Now, when I was pastoring preacher, I took it in because I had to. But I'm telling you, now that I get up and I work a job, sometimes I wake up and I don't feel like getting up. And I don't want to get up a little extra and read the Bible. And I think, well, I'll look at it later, or I'll do something else, or I'll listen to it at work or something, you know. But listen, this is more important than anything else. We find out what it means to be holy from the Word of God. Sanctify them. I'm not going to read all I'd written down. I just don't feel led to do it. But I just want to say the Holy Spirit teaches us from the Word of God. He teaches us from the Word of God. And if we'll listen to Him and heed what He says, we'll be better off for it. Amen. He guides us into all truth. I'm glad for that, aren't you? I'm glad. Preacher and I were talking the other day. You know, if a man gets up and says, God told me something, you better be careful. But I will say this, God guides us into all truth.
Amen.
If you say you're saved this evening, is He teaching you? Is He teaching you? I'm asking you this evening, do you have a desire to be holy? See, one of the ways you know you're saved is before you never had a desire to be holy. See, when a person gets saved, there's a struggle begins. You got the old flesh that's been there all along, but then you also got the new man. And that new man's trying to do what's right. And it ain't very long at all, they're butting heads. And you have a desire, there's something. Listen, before you saved, you didn't care that you didn't read your Bible. You might be here tonight and thinking, oh my, man, he really, that bothered me what he said about reading my Bible. There's a time it wouldn't have bothered you.
That's right.
Thank God if it bothered you. Isn't that right? I mean, I'm glad that He guides us. I couldn't tell you the time I've got out of my car and walked to the building where I work. And on the way, I said, God, just help me today to be a Christian. Help me, God. Holy Spirit, guide me. Help me. Show me how to behave today, because this old flesh don't want to behave. This old mouth wants to say things when it ought to shut up. My temper. Do y'all have a temper? Let me come back and slap you across the face and let's find out. We'll see how pious you are then. I still got a temper, folks. Them guys at work can still make me real mad. I need help, don't you? I'm glad he's praying for us. Do you have a desire to be holy in your speech? Man, if I ever fail him, and I fail him a lot, but I fail him in my speech. You say, you mean you got a foul mouth? No, but I say things when I just should have been quiet. And I'm smart aleck. And I raise my voice when I get excited, brother. And I get accused of screaming at people. I tell you what, though. Ever since the Lord saved me, and my wife will give you a testimony of this, He changed the way I treat my family.
Yeah. That's good.
I'm not perfect, but it's not the same.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And He's and I fail Him. Sometimes I fail Him. I'm right back to zero. But I know better and I want to do better, and He helps me to do better.
Yes, He does.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, He does.
Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. I'll tell you why folks like darkness rather than light. It's because their deeds are evil. Sanctified. We need to pray like our Savior prayed. We need to pray that we love one another. Aren't you glad for Christian brothers and sisters? I've got family that I love dearly, but they're not saved. And really, they've kind of, I don't get invited to the family reunions. I don't get invited to come over when they have a big family get together normally. I'm not even too welcome at Christmas. But I got a church family.
Amen.
And I've had brothers and sisters in Christ that love me. See, you might be here this evening and your family kind of wrote you off. But you've got a church family.
Yes.
And we need to love one another.
Amen. Right.
We need to pray that we'd love one another. We need to pray that our joy might be full. We need to pray that we'd be kept from the evils of the world and the flesh.
Yeah.
And we need to pray that we'd be sanctified, made holy through the Word of God. Again, look at verse 20, and I'm closing. Neither pray I for these alone. Can you imagine our Savior praying that night? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me. Can I tell you something? He was thinking about me that day. You say, well, you mean in general? No, I mean he was thinking about Sean in particular. He was thinking about me. Those who would believe. Have you believed on him tonight?
Have you believed on Him tonight? He's a wonderful Savior.
He sure is.
He's a wonderful Savior. Notice what it says in verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. There's a lot of things happen before the foundation of the world. I like to study that out, don't you? A lot of things. I was chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. He said that they may be where I am. One of these days, folks, we're going to be where He is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm glad we've got such a wonderful Savior that prays for us. Preacher, you come ahead.